relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Have you ever experienced in your life individuals who promise a lot but deliver very little, if anything at all? It's a type of person, and you get to recognize them rather rapidly over the years. What about when you find somebody who, whenever they promise, actually delivers and delivers more than you expected? And that's why no monologue today. Sorry, guys. I know it's Friday when things are a little bit more flexible, but no monologue at the top of this hour because I have an article that literally came out minutes ago and we have to discuss it with you. It was teased. He said it's going to happen. It's going to drop. And he delivered. He is the founder, the editor-in-chief of JustTheNews.com, an investigative reporter par excellence. Follow him at J. Solomon Reports. John Solomon, welcome to America First.
Thanks, Seb. Thank you for that very kind introduction.
So, John, just a few days ago, you had this story, emails by Hunter Biden that they were going to, quote-unquote, conquer a turbulent world, lobbying the Italian regional president, the French ambassador, targeting sovereign wealth funds to make money for themselves when his daddy was vice president. But moments ago, a far bigger story about the federal authorities having subpoenaed Hunter Biden during the 2016 election. I've dipped into it in the seconds I had before the show. Just one of these sentences that struck me. Of the $27,778 that were paid every month to the company, portions were kicked back to an American Ukrainian who helped them land the job. That sounds like small potatoes based upon the other things we've read in the article. John, tell us what your readers, we're posting it right now, the minimum they need to know.
Yeah, listen, I think the most important thing about this story is it undercuts the primary argument that the Democrats had for impeaching President Trump. Remember what the argument was when they impeached him over Ukraine. The president abused his power because he asked for an investigation into Burisma, Biden, and Ukraine, and Hunter and Biden had not done anything wrong. That was the line that Joe Biden, down the line, everybody said it. Now we know in the summer and spring of 2016, Hunter Biden and his lawyers and his accountant and his corporate executives knew he had failed to pay taxes, Now, not just any money, the Burisma money. He was getting about $1 million of Burisma money in 2014 and 2015. He's the vice president's son. He doesn't pay taxes on it. All of a sudden, a subpoena shows up in his office because his business partner, the guy he's in business with in Burisma and Rosemont, all these different ventures, Devin Archer, about to be indicted. He's got to turn over all of his records, and they're worried that Hunter Biden's going to get ensnared in that, and they got to find a story. They call it a narrative. They got to find a narrative to explain why Hunter Biden didn't pay taxes on foreign money flowing into his account. And then as they go through the story, they discover, well, he's got this finder's fee. He's kicking back to the guy who got him the board. That's very rare for someone to be paying a monthly fee to keep their board seat on a board. And it goes on. And you now see that when the Democrats looked in the camera, when Joe Biden looked in the camera and said, Hunter Biden didn't do anything wrong, we know they knew as far back as 2016, he failed to pay taxes. Most Americans consider that unethical, improper, unlawful. And it probably explains why Hunter Biden is the focus of a federal investigation now. I think these documents give us a sense of some of the problems he's facing.
Have any members, any organs of the legacy media reported on this, or do you expect them to report on the fact that the vice president's son, who is now bearing the title of president, paid no taxes on the Burisma Ukrainian corrupt company payments?
Well, listen, if Don Jr. had gotten a subpoena, we would have been breaking news all over CNN. If Don Jr. had not paid taxes, breaking news. If Eric Trump had been paying a kicker to some foreigner to get some deal he got, it'd be breaking news on every channel you can imagine. Flipping over, this story just came off the presses a few seconds ago, literally. We'll have to wait and see. But the recent track record of the news media has not been good. First, when they get a story wrong, they don't correct it. When new revelations come out about the president that they are always cheering on, his ice cream eating, his vice president's giggles, they ignore anything that's negative. We'll have to wait and see if they take this seriously. Listen, this is Hunter Biden's own emails to his lawyers and his accountant. These are the inner sanctum thinkings of Hunter Biden. There's not any doubt what Hunter Biden was doing. Now, let's see if the media dig into it.
You are the expert. You, along with the co-author of your recent book, Seamus Bruner, of all of these dealings, whether it's the more than $1 billion from the National Bank of Communist China to Hunter Biden's company, whether it is the $80,000+ every month from Burisma, whether it is what? Is it $3 million from the wife of the ex-mayor of Moscow? For all of these services, what were they buying? Let me ask the naive question. Was there some product? Was something manufactured? Was there engineering services? What are we talking about for these millions and millions and sometimes billions of dollars? Or was this just buying connections, John?
Yeah, mostly buying connections. Listen, the earlier story you mentioned that came out a couple days ago, Hunter Biden gets invited to a state dinner by his father. He chums up with the French ambassador. And 2 days later, or a week later, he's calling the French ambassador. It was so good to meet you at the dinner. I got a business deal in France I need help with. I got a partner in France who needs help. That's what Hunter Biden was. He was a Rolodex dialer of high and powerful people. And for that, he got paid. Now, that's most of the things he did was connections. You know, Burisma clearly hired him to try to get the stain of their criminal investigations away from them. And we're going to break some new news next week that will show exactly what Hunter Biden was doing, what he was directing to try to make those criminal investigations go away, his private law firm. So he goes in. This is something very important that most people haven't picked up on. He gets to be a board member. As soon as he's a board member, one of the first things he does is he hires himself as a private lawyer through his firm, Boy Schiller, and he gets another $250,000 kicked to his law firm, which, by the way, comes back to him. He gets the payments for it.
So hang on. Let's break this down. Yeah. So he becomes
hard to believe
a no-show board member on this corrupt Ukrainian energy company board. And then after he becomes a board member, he gets to hire his own law company?
And the money comes to him. It gets earmarked to him through the Boy Schiller law firm. And the whole string of emails we're going to put out next week are going to show what was Boy Schiller and Hunter Biden trying to do. They were trying to influence these things that were causing the American government to think that Burisma was corrupt. There were ongoing investigations in Britain, in Ukraine. Our own embassy in Kiev believed it was a corrupt company. And there's no doubt now why Hunter Biden was brought in. It was to solve the corruption problem. So that's going to come out next week. But everywhere he goes, there's a different mission. When he goes to China, here's one that we forget about. He helped the Chinese Communist government buy an iconic automaker in Michigan that made sensitive technology for our fighter pilots. And now that was technology, because Hunter Biden facilitated the sale, got it through the CFIUS process, the approval of an important American asset to a foreigner. And now the Chinese own that company. They control a company that used to make the most important windshields for our Air Force fighter pilots. So at every different place, he's doing something. But in most cases, it's enriching himself, and it's not helping the Americans. His Burisma thing made the State Department mad because they believed he was undercutting corruption. The China thing gave China our military technology. He's not really helping the United States. He's lining his pockets.
We've got seconds left. Any theory, any plausible answer as to why he's getting subpoenaed for not paying his taxes, Hunter Biden, in 2016? Oh. But when they raid Rudy Giuliani's house a few weeks ago, the FBI don't want Hunter Biden's laptops. Any explanation for that, John?
I actually do. They have this laptop, and the documents I'm referring to have been in the possession of the FBI since December 19. They've been working this very hard. They didn't need it. They had it. That's the real honest.
They had it. But with what consequences? That's the question. Prep yourself. Know the truth. Bookmark justthenews.com right now. Follow Jay Solomon Reports, because this is what he does for the truth. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Next, Trish Regan. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. I had a lower back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor, and 2 weeks later, I was pain-free. It is the solution for tens of thousands of Americans across the country, and you could be the next one. Just listen to Deborah from Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Did you hear those words? My hip pain is gone. Find out for yourself. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me and Deborah and the thousands of Americans across America who are getting their lives back. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. Katie Gorka, does Relief Factor work?
Oh, 100%.
You're massive. You were such a cynic.
I was such a cynic.
Such a doubter.
I'm a believer.
She's a believer. She says every morning, every evening, where's my Relief Factor? Come on. Do it. You know it makes sense. 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
Does the Fed know what they're doing? Does Biden even have a plan? What do you need to know about our economic future? Let's talk to our market maven, Trish Regan, of the Trish Intel Podcast.
The high stakes G7. High stakes in what? Whether or not Joe Biden fall down the stairs again. It's not going too well. Have you heard of something called the Royal Air Force? Everybody knows what the Royal Air Force is, except for Joe Biden. Cut 10.
These partnerships have been hardened in the fire of war. And generations of Americans and service members fought like the original Bloody Hundred, those RFA pilots,
just like that Bureau of Alcohol, Firearms, and Tobacco. Am I right? But whatever's happening, it can't be as bad as Kamala Harris with her interview with Univision. Cut 9.
¿Cómo le responde usted a él?
I've said I'm going to go to the border. And
when are you going to the border, Vice President?
The administration has asked. I'm not finished. I've said I'm going to the border.
I'm not finished. Trish Regan, have you ever said that to somebody in an interview? I haven't finished. Trish?
It's a good question. It's great to see you or talk with you as always, Seb. It's a good question. I don't believe I have. And, you know, look, you're vice president of the United States of America. It's just unbecoming. The whole interview, it was like, come on, come on. You know what? Just go to the darn border, for goodness sake. Stop, you know, giving excuses. Stop refusing to answer questions. I mean, she can't even sit down and do an interview with Lester Holt. My goodness. I mean, if there's no, you know, somebody who's really in the camp for her, it's not like she was, you know, talking to you or me, Seb.
No. Right?
She was talking to Lester Holt from NBC, and she couldn't even manage that. I suspect that what this really showcases is her immaturity, if you would, and her lack of seasoning, her inability, you know, frankly, just, you know, she's not as qualified as you really need for that job. Let me just tell you, Mike Pence never would have pulled that.
No, I can't think of an instance where he snapped at an interviewer quite like that. I think it also comes from a sense of an inferiority complex because she knows she's not fit for that office. We're talking to Trish Regan. She is the host of the Trish Intel podcast, trishintel.com, and the newest member of the Salem faculty, the best faculty in radio and podcasting. Follow her at Trish_Regan. We've got to talk about the Deutsche Bank report, but first, the G7, the biggest thing to come out of that is this asinine concept of a 15% tax for the world. I'm not an economist. Let's leave it to the professional. Your take on the 15% tax for the world.
Oh, it's asinine is a perfect way to describe this idea. Look, instead of offering a more competitive landscape for American companies right here at home, thereby attracting more business, you know, and more capital, what are they doing? They're like, okay, we're gonna up taxes on everyone. But maybe that won't really work because, you know, a lot of companies, and we saw this, by the way, during the Obama years, I used to call them shotgun marriages, right? Mm-hmm. Suddenly, an American company's buying a company from Ireland and relocating there. There were all these mergers, tax inversion mergers, as they were known. Anyway, Seb, they know that companies are going to relocate overseas. So what's the answer? Oh, we'll just up taxes all over the world. The only problem is, they've only got their sort of cool kids on the block signed on to this, right? So G7 can sign on to this noble idea that we're just going to tax everyone all over the world, 15%. So what is that going to do? Just send jobs to Honduras and Guatemala? Kamala wants them there anyway, because Trish, you can operate and still in plenty of other countries. You're taking away the ability for American companies to really compete here at home, thereby driving more jobs still overseas.
When are they going to wake up? When are these people going to understand when it's about profits, when it's about national interest, it's about commercial interest? Kumbaya does not apply. The Paris Accords were the same. We're going to strap ourselves with limits. We're going to pay China and Russia not to pollute, but they're still going to pollute. How is this going to work when it comes to tax rates?
Yeah, China's going to love this, right?
Yes.
If I'm China, I'm sitting here going, ha, G7, glad I'm not part of that, right? I mean, that's just, look, they've got to love this because we're doing this, once again, Seb, to ourselves. It's like we are our own worst enemy. And this really goes back to fundamentally a difference in how they see the world, right? Instead of thinking we can grow the pie for all, you know, everybody can benefit here in America if we just really grow our opportunities back here at home, they see it as business is bad,
yeah,
and therefore must be taxed, and you need to redistribute wealth. I mean, this is a fundamental philosophical difference.
Yeah. Inflation, you've been warning us about inflation. Tell us what our millions of listeners need to know about this doom and gloom report from Deutsche Bank.
Oh, sure. Well, Deutsche Bank, just echoing what I've been saying now for months. I mean, I have been harping on this all the way back to January when we started getting some inflationary signs. I mean, look, you cannot have a situation, and Deutsche Bank said this very well in the analyst report that came out this week. You can't have a situation that's so reckless, right, where you have monetary and fiscal policy all at work at the same time so aggressively. So we have a Federal Reserve that has left rates really, really low for frankly way too long, and they've been effectively printing money by buying up bonds, right? So that they help suppress and keep interest rates low. Thank goodness, because my gosh, if interest rates were really where they ought to be, I mean, we're already dealing with $28 trillion in debt. Just imagine, you know, if interest rates were somewhere around 4%, 5%, 6%, we'd really be paying through the nose. So they've kept interest rates so low, but they're doing this at a time, Seb, when actually the economy's, you know, kind of just managing to get back on its own. And when it manages to get back on its own and people start going out to eat again and they start going back to work again and they start going to the movies again and buying clothes and doing all the things that American consumers do, because you know we love to consume. It's 2/3 of our overall GDP consumption. So Americans go back and they consume while simultaneously the Fed prints money and Joe hands out checks and says, don't bother going to work. You can sit home on the couch and earn plenty. Well, then that's a recipe, frankly, for major inflation. And that was the read we got on CPI. The Consumer Price Index showed that prices went up on an annualized basis 5%. That's way ahead of where the Federal Reserve likes to target, which is normally 2%.
Are we talking potential stagflation as well?
I'm worried about it because I don't see how the economy can continue growing at such a pace if people are incentivized to sit home on the couch.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about this before. I mean, you can't
it's real.
Have a situation where the government pays you for that so much for so long.
Travel across America, talk to people who are trying to employ workers, especially in the service industry. And in those states where they haven't stopped the benefits, it's really, really hard. People are staying at home. And that's not how you build anything. Follow her right now, TrishIntel.com, Trish_Regan. She is the host of the Trish Intel podcast. God bless you every Friday for giving us what we need to know about the state of the national and world economy. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Stay on this channel. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest capacity micro compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, the class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
You would think, with all the public policy debates that are taking place right now, that the Republican Party would be engaged in a significant debate about how are we going to deal with the economy, and what are we going to do about climate change, and what are we going to do about, lo and behold, the single most important issue to them apparently right now is critical race theory. Who knew that that was the threat to our republic?
Critical race theory. Oh, don't worry about it. It's fine, says one of the most divisive presidents on the matter of race in recent history, Barack Hussein Obama. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Very special guest. When your muse says, I need to come on your show, you say, of course you do, my dear. Katie Gorka. She is the director of civil society at the Heritage Foundation, the conservative mothership. Join today, heritage.org. You're on here because I want to hear. I think I was working. I couldn't be part of this teleconference. You did this video stream with an amazing speaker. More than 1,000 people tuned in. Vadi Bocca, and we're going to talk about the topic that he discussed. But first things first, Katie, welcome. And who is this person you invited to stream on your conference?
Yeah, Vadi Bocca.
So he is a pastor. He's a professor. He's been around for a long time. I guess my understanding is he's well known in the homeschooling community. He's a father of nine. But what makes him also very, very interesting is the fact that even though he is a Christian, he is also a professor of sociology. So he has a very deep understanding of critical race theory, its Marxist roots. He said he started alerting the community to CRT back as early as 2005, and they just sort of poo-pooed him and said, "Oh, you know, what are you talking about? This isn't a big deal."
Like Obama.
Exactly. And then, of course, look at where we are today. So, I mean, I think he's one of our best experts on it. What I liked about him, we are all hearing so much about what's happening with CRT in the schools, but we're not hearing as much about what's happening in the church.
Well, this is why I said you've got to come on this show, because you said to me that CRT, critical race theory, this racist Marxist ideology that we've been covering, its infection of our schools with people who are finally talking out, parents and a teacher yesterday. I get that, but I didn't even know it was an issue in the churches. So what did he say?
So it's a massive issue in the church, actually. And there's a lot of history to this. I mean, one of the most interesting stories that he tells, and I should mention his book, which I think if you're going to read one book on critical race theory, you read this: Fault Lines, The Social Justice Movement and Evangelicalism's Looming Catastrophe.
Along with, may I add, James Lindsay's Cynical Theories. That gives you the big picture historic. Okay, we've had him on the show, James Lindsay's Cynical Theories. Vodi Baucham, that's V-O-D-D-I-E. And then his last name, Baucham, and it's Fault Lines, The Social Justice Movement, that's, you know, the broader environment, and Evangelicalism's Looming Catastrophe. So what did you and your 1,000 audience members learn yesterday?
So he tells a fascinating story in the book. He's part of the Southern Baptist Convention, and he tells a story about their annual meeting back in 2019, and there was a resolution put forward which was actually condemning critical race theory. And somehow over the course of time, it got completely rewritten to support critical race
theory. And then it was passed without anybody knowing.
It was passed and nobody dared challenge it. And this is the problem he talked about yesterday. And this is, we've seen this happen so many times. The problem is if it's an African-American who rewrites in favor of critical race theory, nobody's willing to stand up to it because they're afraid they're going to be accused of being racist.
Right.
And so it passed. Now, thankfully, the leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention, just a year later, wrote a letter sort of changing their position. So I think things are on a better track. But, you know, I find it just fascinating. Just yesterday, somebody posted on my Facebook page, who goes to our local mega church, that they've gone totally woke. So it's happening everywhere.
Not just the schools, not just now the military. It is invading our churches. Understand the threat of critical race theory, which comes from people who say that they are Marxist. It's the same ideas that drive BLM and Antifa. The idea that based upon your skin color, you are a bigot. It is the most bigoted philosophy that affects us today. We're talking to my wife, my muse, Katie Gorka, the director of civil society at the conservative mothership, the Heritage Foundation. Join Heritage today at heritage.org and follow her at Gorka Katie on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the relieffactor.com studios.
Know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. What's one of the greatest things in life, one of the greatest joys in life? It's to see joy in a child. Just one of the most powerful things. Listen to a young man who spent his summers at the Angel Tree Camp for children who've lost a mother or father to the prison system, who's now a counselor. Delton expresses the joy that you, our dear listeners, are bringing every single day.
We wake up, we have breakfast, and then we usually play some games. And then if you're older, we might have like a Bible study before worship. We worship till lunch, and it's a blast, you know? Everybody's jumping, we're singing. After lunch, we didn't have like free time. We do crafts, we go swimming, we do all that stuff, all that fun stuff. I mean, I love camp. That's why I want to keep coming back.
He wants to keep coming back because of the joy that that camp, that safe environment that helps break the cycle that these very vulnerable children, millions of children across America suffer from. Please help today. A $200 donation pays for a child, a girl or a boy, for one whole week at camp. But a donation in any amount, $20, just do it today and we will club it all together. Or if you can do $1,000, that's five children. Make a donation today at sebgorka.com. Hit the Angel Tree banner at the very top or call the Prison Fellowship at 888-206-2794. That's 888-206-2794. sebgorka.com and the Angel Tree banner. We are back with Katie Gorka of the Heritage Foundation. Wonderful last name you have there. I like that name. Katie, you are discussing the threat of critical race theory in our churches, not just our schools and the military. And the person you had this mass, where can people watch this video conference?
I'm so glad you asked. Yes, they can. Heritage Events. And when you go online, it'll be one of the first ones that pops up. And they're going to ask you to plug in your name and email address, but you can watch it. It's free. There's no charge. And it was a great conversation.
Okay. When over 1,000 people voluntarily signing to see this, you know it's important. Check it out. The yesterday's, what do they call it? Video conference?
Webinar
from Vodi Borkum. But he made a point you want to share with our viewers that is kind of the cloaking that CRT has given, but it's all a lie. Explain what Vodi shared with you.
Yeah, so, I mean, it goes back to the quote you played from Obama, where he's sort of dismissive of conservatives for being concerned about critical race theory. And one of the things you hear often today is, well, maybe it's Marxist, but it can also be a useful analytical tool through which to look at race. And Bauckham just completely dispenses with that argument. He says, CRT cannot be an analytic tool because it is an entire worldview. And the point about this worldview is it wants to take down everything that is foundational to the United States, our conceptions of equality, the rule of law. All of this it wants to take down and replace with its, you know, Marxist conceptions of a brave new world. And for this reason as well, he says, this is why there cannot be room for CRT in the church, because it's fundamentally opposed to a biblical worldview.
Right. This isn't fractional equations. This isn't long division. This is a worldview that postulates that white people are always racist and there has to be a redistribution of power based upon race. Class didn't work. Now it's race. It isn't a theory. It isn't a tool. It is a racist ideology. The book by Vodi Borkum is Fault Lines, the Social Justice Movement and Evangelicalism's Looming Catastrophe. We're talking to Katie Gorka. Follow her at Gorka Katie on Twitter. I want to play this because it fits in perfectly. This is G. Van Fleet at the Loudoun County Education Board meeting talking about CRT and its relationship to what her family experienced. This is video cut five. Play cuts.
I just want to let the American people know that what's going on in our school and in our country is really a replay of the Cultural Revolution in China. And I want people to see there's similarities, and the similarities are terrifying. They use the same ideology and same methodology, even the same vocabulary, and with the same goal. The ideology is cultural Marxism. And we were divided into groups as oppressor and oppressed. And here we use race, and there they use class. And the people here who have a different review were labeled racist. But in the Cultural Revolution, the label is counter-revolutionary. So it is a hat that fits all. And once the hat is on your head, your life is ruined.
Isn't it It's fascinating, Katie, as somebody who's lived and traveled through post-communist Central and Eastern Europe, that the teacher who spoke up at Loudoun County that we had the show on the show yesterday, Lilit Navetsian, she's from Armenia, from a post-Soviet republic. This parent from Loudoun County talks about her family suffering in communist China. Why is it immigrants from dictatorships who have to tell us the truth?
Well, and I'll tell you something else that I'll bet even you don't know. And this is
what?
Yep.
What?
Yep. And this is something that I also learned from Vadi Balkum from his book, and this blew me away. You know, we look at 1989 as a banner year in the freedom movement. That was the year of the Tiananmen massacre, and that was the year that the Berlin Wall fell. But you know what else Vadi says? That was the year that a lot of this originated, because that was the year of a seminal conference held by Derek Bell.
And I knew that's that. When I knew that.
You did not.
You did, because I did because you told me yesterday.
Okay, good. So some of the key works that are now the foundation for critical race theory came out in 1989.
Were planted at the same time that we thought
crazy?
We won.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
We have work to do. Critical race theory is the new communist Marxist threat to this nation, but it's not out there. It's not in the Warsaw Pact. It's not in some submarine under the Atlantic. It is in our schools, in our military. It is in our educational institutions from kindergarten all the way up to postgrad. Guys, we got to fight. We got to get serious. We're talking to Katie Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. And if you're serious, you also have to be healthy. How's that for a segue? Healthy fighters, happy warriors, be the healthiest you can be. Take balance of nature. Have I taken my balance of nature today?
I witnessed it with my own two
whose
eyes.
Whose was it? Whose was it?
It might have been mine, but you did take it.
I stole yours. I'm sorry. I'll give you those little six capsules back. But I needed it because I want to be healthy. I'm on a new health kick. Six little capsules from Dr. Douglas Howard. Three red for fruit, three green for vegetables that give me incredibly 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. All the stuff your mum wants you to eat, but you kind of used to push around the plate. Kale is evil! But this is easy. Come on, guys. And right now, Dr. Howard's going to give you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order if you use my name. Call them 800-246-8751. Super easy number, but write it down. 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use promo code G-O-R-K-A. And one of the coolest things I always forget to say, because I run out of time, you know, it's live radio, is if you buy Balance of Nature, you get free access to a health coach at the end of a phone line. How epic is that? 800-246-8751. Balanceofnature.com. Be the healthiest you can be. Balanceofnature.com.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
Do we have a... Yes, we do indeed. We're going to play the second cut from that amazing lady from the Loudoun County meeting of the Education Board. But first, if you like talk radio, if you want to support us, please check out Mike Lindell's incredible line of over 100 products, from the My Pillow to the new sheepskin slippers and everything in between. Use my name for up to 60% off. That's mypillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, mypillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. It's an immigrant. Of course it is. Let's listen to her cut six.
And the vocabulary is even the same. Wokeness. And to be specific, we used class wokeness. In Chinese, it is 阶级觉悟. Your level of wokeness determine your chance to get a promotion or to get benefit. And who decide your level of wokeness? It is the party leaders.
Shocking. Shocking. Even the terminology is the same. Katie, are we winning this war? Will we win? What's it going to take?
I have to tell you, I think we're winning this war.
What
this
are the signs?
Well, this has been an incredible week. Just some of the people that you've had on the show this week, all the people that you're playing who've stood up, who aren't going to take it anymore, Vaughty Bauckham has written this beautiful book. He's speaking up about the church. I'm feeling really encouraged. I actually think we're seeing a renaissance in this country. I think we're seeing the rebirth of civil society. You know, it's the one, for me, the one good thing that came out of Trump not winning is that people now are, cannot expect that they will be saved by Washington. And I think Americans across this country are standing up to take back their country and to affirm the ideas that this nation was built on.
Your message to those who just listen to talk radio or watch TV at night and get riled up and maybe feel intimidated, what is your message to them?
Well, I know what your message is. Your message is everybody needs to be a fighter. I'm a little bit more forgiving. I don't think everybody's cut out to be a fighter, but I think we all need to do something. We all need to do something. I'm just saying, I don't think we're all cut out to stand up in front of the school board, but I wish more people would. I think people need to stand up in their churches, in their schools, to their friends. Critical race theory is going to tear this nation apart if we don't shut it down now.
What is it the wise Dennis Prager says? There are three types of human being. Those who fight, those who help the fighters, and those who do nothing and help evil win by doing nothing. Be one of the first two categories. If you don't want to fight, help those who are fighting. She's Katie Gorka. She's in charge of civil society. Somebody's got to do it at the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Follow her at Gorka Katie on Twitter, also on Facebook, and check out the new book, Fault Lines. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Don't you dare touch that dial.